Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and we are joined by one of our fan favorite guests. Ed Dowd joins us from Hawaii, and of course, he's the author of Cause Unknown, a book that reveals a lot of statistics and, you know, very well documented numbers about the number of people disabled and in some cases killed following vaccine injections, particularly COVID vaccines. And he has updated numbers for us out of the UK and some other topics to focus on. So welcome, Ed Dowd. It's great to have you on the show.
Mike, thanks for having me on again. Honored to be here.
Well, we're honored to have you on. I think America is frankly honored by the work that you're doing. You're a voice of truth and reason in a time of lies and deception, it seems. So we really appreciate what you're doing. And what you're digging up is quite concerning. You want to share with us the latest?
Yeah, it's funny what you said about deception. I've coined a term, full spectrum deception. That's the age we live in. Literally 24/7 propaganda and gaslighting at this point. It's the data is the data. And at this point, the authorities see everything that we see, and they remain silent. We're in cover-up mode. This is the greatest crime ever. And the further we go along in time without banning these vaccines, the worse the crime becomes. So the latest data, and I'm not here to report good news, is that we put out a report a couple weeks ago on the NHS, which is the National Health Services System in the UK. They have data that showed absence rates and work time lost that is very similar to what we already reported on that happened in the US and the UK. What was curious about the data was that it seems to accelerate in 2022, the work time lost and absence rates, to the point where the standard deviation from norm in 22 for the hospital system in the UK is basically the same as it was for the UK and the US, 12 to 13 standard deviations.
Wow.
Above norm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that's not background noise.
No, that's a signal. You know, look, anybody who understands basic statistics, three standard deviations happens 0.3% of the time. And that's what we call a signal. Anything above three, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 is what we call a black swan event. So this is clearly in the black swan category. So, you know, the other good thing about this data was it had the other reports we dropped were annual data. So this is monthly data. So it's more granular. And we were able to show that the sicknesses and absence rates, you know, one of the pushbacks would be, hey, it's a hospital system, they might get the flu. Well, it was consistent throughout the year. It does not indicate that a respiratory seasonal illness is to blame. And again, it's 12 standard deviations above normal. So there's no flu that I know of that's causing that to occur. So we were able to finally verify that it seems to us that the immune systems of, you know, workers in the US, the UK, and obviously hospital systems are part of that, are compromised, and people are getting sicker and sicker and missing work and missing work for longer. So, you know, this is, you know, you and I have talked about this. This is going to have drastic economic impacts for years to come. And, you know, there's three categories we identified in our vaccine damage report earlier this year: the injured, the disabled, and the dead. And the injured is obviously a much greater number than the disabled, and disabled much greater than the dead. But the problem here is morbidity leads mortality, so you can go from injured to disabled, disabled to dead, or straight from injured to dead.
That's right.
So this is, you know, we estimated in 2022, 26.6 million injured, meaning they're in some form, shape, or something, their immune system's compromised, and it's presenting as a host of different symptoms and causes. We did drop several weeks ago the UK personal independence payment data that goes into body system new claims versus normal trend, and then you can drill down into the underlying causes. And we're seeing crazy things like blood disorders up 550% in 2022. You know, you can drill down into oncology, which is cancer. You can look at breast cancer, and then you can look at a specific age group, something like 25 through 29. Obviously, breast cancer affects women, and it's up 174% in 2022. So things are just they're just bad. And I'm just sad that it's just taken this long to even, you know, get people to start to wake up. And it is happening, but we need we need some grown-ups and adults in Congress or positions of authority to start admitting that this is a tragedy.
Well, yeah, you might be asking for miracles to occur in that case, because actually what we're seeing, as you know, is sort of a ramp up to a repeat of the whole thing. We saw Joe Biden just in the last few days say that he had approved over $1 billion in funding, or he's requesting funding from Congress in order to fund a new round of vaccines for the new variant that, of course, the independent media has dubbed BS.24.7, which I think is pretty right on there. But he's saying that he's going to encourage all Americans to get this new vaccine. And here's a president, allegedly, who has taken four or five shots himself and has been then infected and diagnosed with COVID twice, which proves that it didn't stop the infections or the transmission, saying, well, now we're going to do it all again with a new variant and a new vaccine. We're going to try to get everybody in America to take that. And who knows what level of coercion they're going to use, you know, try to force hospitals and schools that receive government funding in order to get those shots and so on. It's like, wow, did everybody forget the last 3 years? How could this be?
Well, I think, unfortunately, they know what's going on. And psychopaths and criminals, I've seen this on Wall Street, they don't stop until they're caught. Yeah, Enron did not admit to fraud until they were in handcuffs. I mean, the CEO and CFO were whispering sweet nothings into large shareholders' ears. That's why so many people rode the thing down to zero, because they trusted. And here we are again with the authorities so caught, so red-handed that, you know, they have to pretend that everything's going along as it should be. I also suspect, you know, we saw the U.S. disability data uptick in May and June. We had a new acceleration. We added another million people in those 2 months. We had gone a high in September 22 of 33.2 million, up about 3.2 from before COVID, more than half of those employed. And then we kind of went sideways for 8 months, and then something's gone on in the general population where it's reaccelerating. We're seeing that again anecdotally with all these new rash of sudden deaths. And you can just kind of sense that there's going to be two things occurring, I think. More deaths, more disabilities. So why not blame a new variant to cover that up? And then two, there's going to be a financial collapse coming. So, you know, they're going to have to point to some, you know, they're going to have to point to lockdowns to cover up why financial assets are collapsing. So as the economy is already, in our opinion, in a recession going deeper. So
that's
my speculation on my part. Why? And look, if this truly was a bad variant, they wouldn't be like pre-ordering equipment. They would have declared something and then order. It's all seems like it's premeditated.
Yeah.
Cover for a fall winter event.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the economic situation, so I'm glad you brought that up. And I'll start with this. One of the things that I'm noticing, you know, because I run a large business, and you know, we talk to other business owners. No one can find people to hire anymore in America. That is, young laborers, for example. They don't exist. It's like somehow millions of people are missing from the labor pool, which, you know, is probably consistent with what you're finding. But, and I know this is just anecdotal of what I'm hearing from other people, but the implications, the macroeconomic implications, are potentially dire. If, you know, if you maim millions of people in your workforce where they can't function, what does that do to a national economy, Ed?
Well, it's going to create, and we're already seeing it anecdotally, shortages, supply chains break. I mean, all over this island, and I've heard from friends on the mainland, let's say you want to go to a restaurant. Well, first of all, pre-COVID, you know, if they were open 5 nights, they'd be fully staffed. They knew what it would look like. Well, now a lot of restaurants, you know, they cut it down to 3 nights because they don't have enough staff, and their hours are shorter. It's going on everywhere. There's just not enough workers. You know, you're seeing if your car gets a dent, you know, especially if it's a high-end car, good luck getting a panel for that dent. You know, I heard stories about Jaguars, you know, 2 year wait to get a door panel.
Wow.
Replaced. And that's part shortages coupled with labor shortages. We're hearing about hospital implosions. I mean, the NHS data that I dropped a couple weeks ago into my comments, people were saying this is dead spot on. Wait times to see doctors and get appointments are way up. once you do see a doctor, if you get a test, good luck getting the results of those tests anytime soon, especially radiology, you know, where you need a radiologist to analyze the MRI or CAT scan. So this, the hospital system's breaking down. The general economy is slowly breaking down. So the economic implications are dire. Anyone who's flown lately will know the nonsense that goes on with flights. You know, they claim paperwork issues, this, that, or the other things. And it's basically shortage of workers. And then, you know, now we have reports of pilots dropping dead in the cockpit. So
yeah,
this is, you know, look, I liken this to a glacial Mad Max, okay? It's not going to be reported in the news. It's not going to be any fanfare about it. And it's going to happen slowly, not all at once. So it's not going to be a movie. It's just going to be, you're going to be, you know, 5 years from now, you know, people are running, you know, there'll be warlords in certain parts of the country running the show. That's where we're going.
Wow. That's quite something to visualize there. But I can see in certain cities right now, we're not far from that. But you know, you mentioned something that the loss of manufacturing capability, I think, reflects the loss of a lot of, you know, middle managers and talent, even in engineering and finance and accounting and so on. We're seeing problems in the banking system that we did not see before. For example, Wells Fargo just routinely has difficulty crediting deposits to people's accounts. They routinely have situations where their ATMs do not function. I've seen Bank of America have failures to deposit accounts as well. We're just seeing, and hospitals, you know, hospital billing systems, they've always been kind of a nightmare, and now it's a nightmare on steroids. You know, it's like Jason with a ski mask nightmare at the hospital. The incompetence, it seems, it's spreading like its own virus across all of these institutions that rely on complex computing systems, and they no longer have people who can run those systems. Does that sound accurate?
Yeah, it's absolutely accurate. I mean, look, software, I was a technology analyst before I became a portfolio manager, and software, you know, if you don't know, it's coding, and it needs constant updating, and there are bugs, and sometimes you need to do rewrites, and if you don't have the people to do that, things start to break down. I mean, software is kind of archaic. It's coded by individuals, and the code can have bugs in it. It's not some magical technology that just you can write it once and it's okay.
Right. Well, and especially with all the updates that keep coming in and all the malware that keeps coming in and so on. But this leads me to my question about CBDCs. Do you think that our government, our treasury, the central banks, can find enough, and perhaps they can, recruit enough talented people to competently run a CBDC where they could prevent all of the, you know, international hackers that are going to try to attack that system and steal money from it and break it down? When, you know, the food stamp system is not that reliable. You know, the FBI gun purchase background check system, not very reliable. Post office, not that reliable. You know, what do governments run that is reliable enough to use as a system of monetary exchange on a day-to-day basis? Seems to me they're going to run into trouble. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a pipe dream that they're going to be able to like pull this off without massive problems. And a lot of people are going to fight this. And I'm just making predictions and I don't have any evidence. But you know, if this gets super creepy and weird, there'll be states that break off, civil war, you know, you'll have like, you know, during the civil war, we had Confederate money. We'll have different entities issuing their own paper money. I mean, that's where we're going eventually. So it's going to be black markets, barter, work trade. No one that is in our camp is going to put up with this. And I don't think it's going to go off personally, but they'll try.
Well, I would love to see Texas issue its own currency, by the way, if it were backed by anything, oil, gold, silver, food. I mean, it's just anything that's real. You know what I mean? Versus this money printing madness in D.C. and the Federal Reserve. There's another trillion here, another trillion there, $100 billion to Ukraine, but nothing for the U.S. border. You know, just any kind of honest ledger would be better than what we have right now, where our purchasing power is just stolen from us every single day. But you think that states could actually end up running their own currencies?
Well, it all depends on what we see unfold. I mean, if it gets kooky and weird and And I'm of the camp it's going to get super weird. I mean, we got a puppet president. We have them trying to, you know, not allow Donald Trump to actually run on the ballot.
Right.
We have the rule of law seems to be suspended at the moment. And it's getting creepy and weird. And now we have a population that's getting increasingly sick. We're having shortages. We're having, quote unquote, you know, fires being lit all around the globe. And then they claim climate change. Sometimes there are natural wildfires. But this is, full spectrum deception. And, you know, they've talked about it themselves. They've coined a new term called the poly crisis, the WEF and George Soros and others are, you know, that's their new word. Multiple crises at once, financial, climate, war, and pandemics, all rolled into one, as if magically they just appear out of nowhere all at the same time.
And then I agree with that. And the individual consumer is then hit with this incredible food inflation and rent inflation and supply chain disruptions, like you mentioned before, to the point where, I'm sure you've seen these videos, these TikTok videos and so on, Gen Z people basically pleading with the world to say, I can't afford to eat. I can't afford to pay rent. You know, what's going on? If only they knew that this had all been inflicted upon them. This is the result of mad money printing and irresponsible government and a debt bubble that's going to burst. Is it not? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, the debt bubble that's going to burst will cause a lot of chaos and wreak havoc. But, you know, humans are very adaptable. And, you know, there was a time in this country where multi-generations lived in the same home. You didn't have to have nursing homes because, you know, your grandma lived with you. I think we're going back to multi-generational homes. I mean, the local Hawaiians have been doing that already.
True.
I think more and more middle-class America is going to end up living together. If rents are too high, you band together, you go from having, you know, your own place to having roommates, and you know, this is where it's going. And, you know, in many ways, it's actually a good thing because so many people are isolated, and you'll have to learn how to, like, get along and find people with, like-minded value systems. So, you know, as bad as it is, there's always a thread of hope on the other side that human relationships are going to take precedence over, you know, the materialistic, let's accumulate as many digits in my bank account as I can and buy stuff.
Right. Do you think we're going to have elections in 2024, you know, federal elections?
You know, I want to be optimistic about it, but the current regime, their crimes are so bad, they can't allow it. So they're going to try to do something to either, you know, steal them and or stop them. I mean, we have a president now. We have dead to rights, getting wire transfers from foreign agents for influence peddling. I mean, that's as bad as it gets. And, you know, the reason why he's being protected is because this has been going on for so long, and so many others in our government, especially in the both sides of the aisle, are implicated, and they don't want the party to stop. I mean, it's truly the Hunger Games. These people in the capital city sell off bits and pieces of the country to others, and they don't seem to see a bad economy. But if you live outside the Beltway, it's not pleasant for the average American.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It is Hunger Games, and there's who was it? Was it Greg Kelly on Fox News? I think that was, or someone there dropping hints that there's some new audio on Joe Biden that's supposed to come out before Halloween. They say. Audio that is so damning that it will force Biden to resign. You know, just audio of him admitting to taking money. Personally, I'm open to your thoughts, but I don't think that Democrats care what audio comes out. I don't think that the Republican establishment cares. I think, just like you said, this is their system. They know they're criminals. They know they're corrupt. They know they're all getting kickbacks and bribes and payoffs. And since they control the media and they control censorship, what do they care what the public knows at this point, right?
I agree. I think those in the Beltway that are benefiting from this system don't care. The good news is that a lot of people are waking up to the uniparty, us versus them, keep us divided nonsense. And, you know, there seems to be a more understanding among some of my former Democratic liberal friends that they're being played. Now, people that make money off this system. We're never going to admit to it or lift a finger to stop Joe Biden, even if they have him dead to rights on a phone call.
Right.
So I'm in your camp. There'll be no movement from any official source, even if he's dead to rights caught. That's where we are. The rule of law is gone. And we're in, you know, a similar decline to Rome. Rome took a long time to decline, but we have technology and things move faster in this day and age. So our decline might be a little more rapid.
Now, your background as a hedge fund analyst gives you a lot of experience in understanding asset classes and their risks and their rewards. For the typical person who, let's say they're close to retirement or they're retired, they've got maybe a few $100,000 that they don't want to lose. What asset classes do you think are going to survive the debt implosion that you and I are talking about? You know, for a typical person, you know, what's within reach of a typical person where they could maybe get through this without losing 90% of their purchasing power?
So, you know, this is going to sound, you know, counterintuitive, but the U.S. dollar is going to fail up, and debt equals money, money equals debt. So when they print money, people don't understand they actually create a debt. It's credit creation. That's how you make new money. And the system is currently a dollar-based system. Lots of our foreign competitors and enemies and even allies have trillions of dollars in dollar-denominated debt. So as we begin a global debt implosion, there'll be currency wars. And even though, you know, we're the progenitors of this system, we have a military industrial complex that will fight to the death to make sure that we come out on top on whatever new system happens. And there's going to be a crowding out of private investment because the government budgets and debt loads are getting so big. They crowd out private investment, which causes a deflation. So the safest thing near term is a U.S. Treasury bill, 3 months in duration. And that's where they're going to try to force through financial suppression the funding of the behemoth. So in the short term, next 5, 7, 8 years, you know, U.S. government debt's your safest bet. Very short term debt, and we're going to be the cleanest shirt in a dirty laundry. That's how I view this. And there'll be wars fought over, you know, the BRICS. If the BRICS actually do try to start a currency, there'll be wars over that. The U.S. military industrial complex funds itself because of our world reserve currency status. So it's very right. complicated. And we, you know, as an American, you don't want the dollar to implode because if it does, we're Venezuela and it's game over and it's hyperinflation.
Right.
So I don't see that right away. But that if I'm avoiding a stock market crash or a you know, corporate credit crash, short-term government bonds is your best bet. 3-month T-bills, and you're getting 5% to wait. That's, again, not financial advice, but and look, long-term, gold and silver will be fine. You just don't want all your eggs in one basket because in a financial panic, they'll go down initially, but long-term, they'll do great. And you don't want gold bars. Obviously, you want coins because, you know, you're trying to scrape off part of your gold bar.
The visibility. Well, yeah. I'm glad you tied the monetary power to the projection of military power, because I would maybe redirect something to you on that, which is the U.S. and NATO forces appearing to be failing catastrophically in Ukraine, and the fact that the U.S. doesn't want M1 Abrams tanks on the battlefield at all, because those tanks would be destroyed by Russia's Landsat 3 drones and you know, precision artillery units and so on. And the last thing the U.S. military industrial complex wants is dead, you know, burned out M1 Abrams tank husks littering the battlefields of Ukraine. That's not good for sales, it turns out. But you have key advantages of military power where Russia has hypersonic missiles and China has at least claims to have this new, you know, laser heat removal system that could enable military lasers in a few years, not instantly. But Russia's got the hypersonic missiles right now that apparently the U.S. can't defend against. Isn't the U.S. kind of becoming militarily obsolete on the world stage?
Yeah, I haven't looked into that. But if that's the case, you know, we lose our power and our status. The world reserve currency does come into question. So if we don't keep our military strong, we got a problem long term. And you know, I haven't looked deep into that. But if your analysis is correct, the timeline of the dollar filling up gets accelerated, unfortunately.
Well, I think the outcome of this conflict with Russia is really going to be a key determining factor, because I think the world saw the United States, you know, run and retreat out of Afghanistan and Syria. And if the U.S. runs and retreats from Russia, then it's kind of like everybody watching all the other nations, including Saudi Arabia, say, well, gosh, you know, the U.S. really can't project military power anymore. And the Saudis have just joined the BRICS group, as you know, and I think five or six other nations as well, where the BRICS group seems to be larger economically now than G7 nations. So it's not, you know, it's no longer sort of, oh, this fringe little, you know, kids table over here. This is China, Russia, you know, Saudis and some pretty major players. It's like they can run a competent play against the dollar should they choose to do so, it seems.
Well, it's a couple things on that. India was supposed to be there. I think India may have pulled out. Mexico for sure didn't join. They don't trust each other. And this is talk. They're not actually going to implement a currency coming out of this conference. They'll probably table it and what have you. And if they were to create a new currency, they wouldn't be able to transact everything right in that new currency, because of the dollar debt-based fiat system is so ingrained into their systems. It would cause a deflationary event in their own countries and devalue their own currency. So this is a long-term thing, I think. What's different this time is these countries have always hated the dollar system because, you know, it's our way of controlling them.
Right.
But now they're publicly talking about it. So why are they doing that? Because we have a weak administration. People are seizing on the fact we look like we're in decline. The rule of law here in this country is clearly being thrown out. So these signals embolden them to now speak publicly and have, you know, conferences in the light of day. This used to be backdoor, you know, whispering. And so it's a big problem. I'm not going to try to, de-emphasize it. But, you know, a lot of people look at that and say, oh, the dollar's going to implode in 6 months. This is a process. It's not going to be an overnight event, in my
right.
humble opinion.
No, I agree with you as well. Let me shift gears and ask you more of a personal question, because you've spent considerable time and effort and money, by the way. You know, you pay researchers, and you wrote your book, Cause Unknown, which is selling very well, by the way, folks. You can find it at booksellers everywhere, and I encourage you to do so. But Ed, you've also taken a lot of, you know, just personal risk, reputation risk, and so on, by doing interviews and being public about this. And what drives you to continue to do this? Because as I see it, you don't make a dime doing any of this. In fact, you keep spending money to do this.
Yeah.
What's driving
you? Currently, all our work at Finance Technologies is pro bono, and we've gotten to the point where our infrastructure has grown, and we're going to have to look for donations to help support that. But eventually, we're going to start a hedge fund. Should we do that? And again, we've been delaying that because of this work. We'll be self-funding. So there's going to be a kind of a bridge. The reason why we do this is because we don't have a world if we don't stop this. I mean, you know, if we don't have a come to Jesus moment globally where people identify what's just happened and then treat the actual underlying causes of all these injuries, disabilities, and deaths, you know, it's game over. So, you know, if I don't do this and my team doesn't do this, who will? And, you know, I'm not worried about, like, you know, having a great business in 5 years if there's, you know, we don't have the infrastructure to service anything. And if I'm bartering for food, I mean, this it has to be done. So I'm doing it. Other people are doing it. There are other heroes and people brave enough to do this. And, you know, the good news is, I think you can sense it as well, our website traffic was de minimis when we started at the end of the year. It's up to 500,000 a month. Word is spreading quickly, despite the censorship and the inadmission of the healthcare authorities. People are realizing that something's gone horribly wrong. And those who don't and continue to live in fantasy land, you know, unfortunately, a lot of those people are going to be left behind. And that's just the way it's going to be. And they're going to continue to boost themselves and die a horrendous death.
Yeah, well said, actually. I mean, it's sad, but I completely agree with what you just said. And I have to think that there's so much pushback now. Even just recently, when I think it was Kaiser Permanente announced a mask mandate in California, and I know Lionsgate Studios announced a mask mandate for their employees, there was so much pushback immediately that both of those organizations reversed course, so they walked it back. In fact, and this was in the Epoch Times, and they said that, well, we never actually issued a mask mandate. That was a misinterpretation. But actually, they did. They just walked it back. But we're seeing now, you know, do not comply everywhere. People say, I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to lock down. I'm not going to keep my kid out of school, right? I'm not going to take the jab, whatever. It seems like the authorities may have underestimated the degree of frustration and anger. And I think even the Lahaina fires aftermath, how it's being handled, the lack of information, you know, the ban on drones and photography and all, this is, frankly, it's just pissing people off more and more to where they don't trust any authority at all at this point.
I agree. What we saw in Maui, I live here, was a complete and utter mismanagement of the fires by the local government. Then they tried to cover up and control the information flow, and the local Hawaiians are done, and they're angry, they're simmering, and they don't trust the government. And this is a blue state, so you know things seem to be afoot. Word is spreading about all sorts of government misdeeds, vaccine being one of them. You know, wars that are ridiculous, that are basically nothing more than grifting exercises where you recycle funds to, you know, those in the Beltway. I mean, that's what the FTX scandal ultimately was about, was money going to oligarchs, money going to Ukraine, and then it would go to the oligarchs. The oligarchs would then give it to FTX. FTX would launder it into Democratic campaign coffers. I mean, if you can't see that, I can't help you. You're not living in reality. So this is what we got. We got people realizing, and the awakening seems to be spreading, whether it's mistrust of local authorities, vaccine mandates, mask mandates. People have had enough, and not everybody, you know, sees the world that you, like the way you and I see it, because we have a pretty good understanding of what's going on. But people are starting to realize something's gone horribly wrong, and that's why I'm so adamant about pushing the vaccine awareness. Is because once you show someone that they were lied to in such an epic way, they'll red pill themselves, because red pilling other people is a waste of time. But once they understand, it is. I've tried it, you know, for years, and I finally gave up. But this issue, once they realize what's happened in this issue, they'll go down their own journey of discovery, and they'll, you know, have fun figuring all the rabbit holes you and I have been down that ended up being true. And that's what's currently happening. More and more people that I meet that used to think I was crazy 5 years ago before COVID, because I had an understanding that something was horribly wrong and a financial collapse was coming, thought I was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Now they're asking me my opinion. What should they do? So there seems to be a shift amongst at least a certain segment of our population. But, you know, there's still a lot of sheep, a lot of unaware people that watch CNN every day. I want to give you an anecdote. I have a neighbor who, you know, lives in my neighborhood, and they were on the island the day after the fires watching CNN. When I came home, they asked me, hey, is it like a ghost town out there? I go, no, business as usual. Everyone's out doing everything. The fires are not burning, and all of Maui. Couldn't you go out on your lanai and smell? There was no smoke. See, there's still a segment of the population that watches the television and don't believe their lying eyes, apparently.
Well, of course, I'm not surprised at all. That's their reality. It's being projected into their consciousness through CNN. But there's something to bring to your attention. I don't know if you were aware of this, but we reported on this at Natural News, where former business partner Sam Bankman-Fried went public with some details recently and said that SBF wanted to build a vaccine factory with FTX money. Yeah, had you ever heard that before?
If that's true, then he seems to be a little more in the club than I thought. I just thought he was a useful idiot. So he obviously, if you're building vaccine factories, you're clearly have more knowledge and connections than you pretend to purport. So that only makes him more of a snake in my mind.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly. Well, no, but it was part of his, you know, effective altruism to help the world by building vaccine factories and giving out vaccines to everyone for free, regardless of whether they're safe or effective, or regardless of what's in them. But we are most definitely living in a strange world. So what do you think? Kind of to wrap this up, Ed, you know, you mentioned it's difficult to red pill people, but our audience is red pilled. People watching this, they mostly get it. In your opinion, what should they be focusing on in order to navigate these dark times that we're observing?
So, you know, the battle is within. You have to remain calm. You have to stay out of fear, and you have to take care of yourself and your loved ones and try to drown out the noise and not get into a hopeless despair, because that'll cause anxiety and depression. There's going to be a cadence to this. It's the world isn't going to end overnight, nor will it be televised. So continue to live your lives. You know, go to your kids' graduations. If you have a girlfriend, get married, have a kid. You just got to live your life with the understanding that the normalcy bias you may have had is gone, and you have to be able to live in uncertainty and take the punches as they come, but not freak out about them. So it's a struggle within, and then once you get yourself right, take care of your health, take care of your mental well-being, you can help others. Because if you don't put the oxygen mask on yourself, you can't help the other people on the plane. That's kind of my advice to those of us that are red-pilled, is, you know, get the mindset correct.
Yeah, exactly. And what would be your message to those who are in the bureaucracy who are complicit in what you and I would probably consider these crimes against humanity that are taking place, you know, the deception and fraud carried out by governments? Do you think that there will be a time when some more of these people will turn against the system or blow the whistle? Or is there a point where they will have had enough?
Well, those who are in the system that kind of watch shows like yours already are. But if you're new to this show and you're in the bureaucracy as an order taker, what you have to understand is being part of the system isn't going to protect you, because we've already saw that the system poisoned their own. I mean, literally the bureaucracy poisoned their own order takers. The first responders have been poisoned, the police departments, the military, all the bureaucrats, except it seems in the CDC or the FDA, but everybody else took the jab, and you've already been betrayed. So you might as well start, coming around to the fact that you're not going to be taken care of or protected when things fall apart.
Yeah, well said. Well, let's hope more people heed that warning and maybe work against the system and work to help restore whatever shreds of a constitutional republic we may have left when all of this is over. Do you think America survives this as a constitutional republic, or are we past the tipping point, or are you more optimistic?
I'm optimistic for a renaissance of humanity, whatever form that takes. It'll be great, but I don't know about America. If America's still standing, maybe we can reboot it. But I'm not going to hang on to something that's corrupt that doesn't turn. So we may have to create a new system of our own, whatever that is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I tried to ask the same question to some people on the street in Philadelphia, but they were drooling zombies. And I could not ask that question because of the horrible problems now in our cities. I mean, that's my satirical way of saying, Ed, that I think that many regions of America are too far gone to save. And if there is going to be a renaissance, it's probably going to happen in rural America and maybe spread from there. But the cities are done, as far as I can tell.
The cities are an absolute disaster. I mean, we have we blew up all the middle class during COVID. Then they started allowing, you know, there were sanctuary cities beforehand, so criminal elements are in there. Drug use is basically subsidized, especially in San Francisco. They give you needles. I mean, we're creating a population of drug-addled zombies in these cities. And when the food stops coming, Katie barred the door. And, you know, if the food trucks stopped coming to New York, they got 3 days worth of food. That gets pretty chaotic pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, and we're seeing signs of more food scarcity starting to kick in at the wholesale level right now, with problems in transportation. It's going to be an interesting ride. But I want to thank you, Ed, for taking the time to join us today. It's always a pleasure speaking with you. Your analysis is spot on, and we appreciate your courage and your love for humanity at the same time. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike. And we love what you do as well, getting the word out. I've been watching you for years, so thank you.
We're doing our best here. Yeah, we appreciate you, Ed. And folks, be sure to check out Ed's book, Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 2022. And Ed, real quick, is there any other website that you want to mention here before we let you go?
Yeah, all our up-to-date research is at financetechnologies.com, spelled with a P-H. We literally have all the receipts. We are quickly becoming the go-to guys and gals on this issue from a Wall Street analytical point of view. And the people that are visiting our website are from all sorts of different institutions. So that's the good news. They may not be talking out loud about what we're saying, but they're looking at our data.
All right. Yeah, we're bringing up your website right here so people can be sure to spell it correctly. Finance Technologies, but spelled P-H-I. So there you go. That's the website. Check it out, folks. And I think you will be amazed at what you find there. So thank you so much, Ed. Always a pleasure speaking with you. God bless you and be safe there in Maui and keep us posted.
You got it, Mike. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Have a great day. And thank all of you for watching. Of course, feel free to repost this interview on other channels and platforms. You have our permission and just give Ed Dowd credit at his website there. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. We appreciate your support in just supporting what we do here, which is getting the truth out so that humanity might have a future. Well, I think the good news is I agree with Ed. You know, those of us who are well-informed, we are hard to kill, by the way. We're very resilient. The government may be successful in killing off sort of the low-hanging fruit of the oblivious masses. Not a lot of them are going to make it, but us, totally different story. We're hard to kill, and that's all by design. Thanks for watching today. Mike Adams here at Brighteon.com. Take care, everybody. Thank you for supporting HealthRangerStore.com, and we've got some solutions to bring to your attention today. We have first aid colloidal silver gel and also a liquid deodorant product. I've got both of them on my desk here to show you. Yeah, right next to our new knives, by the way, that are coming out shortly. But the first aid silver gel is made using Texas rainwater with colloidal silver using electronics that I designed with silver plates to actually produce the ionic silver. And then that's combined with 7 essential oils to make a topical kind of a natural liquid bandage using xanthan gum as the thickener, by the way, that is excellent for topical use for, you know, minor cuts and scrapes, things like that. I use it all the time. I use it, to heal my finger when I had that horrible laceration accident where I almost lost my finger. So that helped me. And, I never suffered an infection, anything like that. I never even got stitches. And it's healed up almost with a... You can barely see the scar now, actually. It's quite remarkable. We also have liquid deodorant there, which is using magnesium and other minerals, including silver, and also sodium bicarbonate in that formula. So there's no aluminum in there. We don't use aluminum ingredients of any kind, which is what mainstream deodorants use, to poison your sweat pores and to block sweat from coming out. And that's largely how they work, is by poisoning your body. We don't rely on any of that at all. So if you want to use a natural deodorant, that's something you can check out. You can get these at healthrangerstore.com. Also want to bring your attention to the satellite phone store, SAT123.com. I've got that up on my screen now. Just want to give you a heads up that they are getting hit by this hurricane in Florida right now, and one of their offices is in Tampa. So they're not going to be able to answer their phones probably for a few days. And they're out there actually giving out phones to first responders so that people can have, you know, communications even when the cell towers are down and not working because of the hurricane, obviously. But long-term, the satellite phone store offers solutions that can really save lives, not just backup communications with satellites, but also they have, of course, solar generators. So they sell the solar panels and the generators with the lithium-ion batteries, the charge controllers, and the inverters, so you can have off-grid electricity to charge your own devices. So be sure to check them out at SAT123.com. A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.